In 2017, our church began the revitalization process. Some of you weren't here then, and we saw the age of the congregation was going up, and the size of the congregation was going down, and we saw the writing on the wall, and from what we'd read, 4,000 churches a year closed their doors, and we didn't want to be one of those churches within 5 years. And so we began to look at things, and we made some changes. We looked at the make of the people, their age, income, family, career makeup, and the stats show that this area is made up of 25% retired people. That means 75% aren't retired. And our church didn't represent the younger set. Now, of course, all ages and all stages are important. But if all the people were older, that meant we weren't reaching any of the younger folks. And so that was something we began to work on. And among other things, as we wrestled with our mission, our vision, we wanted to come up with a tagline. We wanted to represent who we wanted to be as a church, as well as where we hope to be in 2020. And this statement, we'd put it on our sign, our stationery. Hopefully we'd talk about it a lot. And what we came up with was a church for our community. And this is how we defined it. If you've seen our brochure, a church. The church isn't the building, it's the people of God. We meet together throughout the week to encourage each other and grow in our faith. 4, we don't meet together just for our own gain because we recognize we've been blessed by God to be a blessing for others. Our, who also live in the place we call home, the wonderful Upper Rogue Valley. A region which we love and care about, and then last of all, community. And we desire for everyone to become members of God's family as well. And so we thought, a church for our community, it's memorable, it's short, we can get a hold of it. And frankly, it fit a lot better on a sign than this. A church for local yokel, retirees, rednecks, recluses, right and left wingers, recreationalists, rejects, rebels, folks in rehab or who need to be, the religious, the self-reliant, wrench turners, and a few regular folks as well. You see what I'm getting at? Hopefully, I think that probably reflects you somewhere. And I also think it reflects God's heart. This Christmas, we're talking about the glory of Christmas. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Mary and how God interrupted her plans. But it was for her good and God's glory. Last week, we talked about how God can use ordinary people. And Joseph was one of those. He said, "Yes, Lord." And God did amazing things. Even with unqualified, not super special, when God steps in and works, then he gets the glory because obviously it was him who did it. Well, today we're going to look at the shepherds and see that God's gift is for everyone. And you know, everyone includes everybody, anybody, somebody's, all y'all. Did you hear people say that down in Texas last week? Yep, all y'all. And does that leave anybody out? No, it doesn't. No matter who you are, where you're from, how you smell, what you look like, the baby Jesus born in Bethlehem is the Savior of the world intended for everybody. And as we look at the story of the shepherds, we're actually going to see that. So we'll be spending a little bit of time in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 16. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. Have you ever gone on a really incredible trip, and someone goes, "Hey, how was it?" And you're like, "Well, where do I begin? I mean, there's the people you saw, places you went, how the traveling experience itself went, the food, the excitement, your hotel." And you kind of want to ask them, "Well, how much time do you got?" You know, sometimes when people would ask us, "Hey, how was your time in Cambodia?" "Oh, 3.5 years, totally crazy, nothing like this world at all in many ways. It's
fine. No, I don't say that. But it's like, you know, well, how much you really want to know? And so you tell them some crazy story about eating live grasshoppers that you freshly caught yourself or whatever. That didn't happen. But anyway, they were dead and fried. But anyway, there is so much in this passage. Where do you begin? I mean, we could talk about angels, glory, the son of David, the messianic expectations, fulfilled prophecy, fear not, the Lord Christ, Savior. But you know, they all point to the fact that God sent a Savior. And out of all the 195 words, at least in that English translation, I want to focus on one word, the word A-L-L, all. You know, all is used a lot in the Bible. Sometimes it doesn't quite mean all. It's figurative language, like all the region of Judea went out to see Jesus. Or later on in prophetic passages, all Israel will be saved, or Jesus healed all the people. Well, really, in those senses, it's meaning a whole lot. There was a big majority of the folks. Like if we were to say, all of Shady Cove was down at the river floating. Well, we know not absolutely everybody, but it sure seemed like it. But in this passage, the word all means all. And all in the dictionary refers to the whole quantity or extent of a particular group or thing. That's related to the word every, which refers to the individual members of a set without exception. So in Luke 2, when the angel says, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. All means everyone without exception. Everybody. You and you and you and you and you and me and them and everybody else. And the glory of Christmas is that nobody gets left out. It was a message for everybody. And it still is. Everybody who is made in God's image, and guess what? That includes everybody, is, was, and forever will be someone that God wants in their family. And God sent Jesus to be the Savior for everyone, to rescue them from their sin. And that included these blue-collar, working, stiff shepherds. You know, they were at the bottom of the rung of the social ladder. Early rabbinic writings say that they're dishonest and shady, and they wouldn't even allow a shepherd to testify in court, basically because you figure they're going to be lying to you. You know, that's what they'd written down. But interestingly enough, of course, we know God chose first to reveal good news of great joy to them. I mean, well, I guess Mary and Joseph knew about it. Mary couldn't have escaped that notice. But to the outside, the family folks, it was the shepherds. You know, sometimes we judge people on externals. You know, you're walking down the streets of Shady Cove and you say, look, dear, there goes the missing link. I mean, I've said that kind of thing. It's not nice, but we tend to do that. God doesn't value people on their appearances or their popularity. He values them based on the fact that he created them. And he came up with them. And he loves them. And he's on a mission to seek and save. You know, it's interesting, these shepherds, they were tending the sheep that were probably destined for sacrifice. But they were ritually unclean enough of the time, they couldn't actually go to the temple and sacrifice anything. So guess what? The Savior came to them. Isn't that cool? And he would be the ultimate sacrifice for them. They weren't looking for God, so God was looking for them. They couldn't go to him, they couldn't go to the temple, so God came their way. That is really cool. And the fact is, the one who was born that day was going to be their Savior as well as everyone else's in the world. Now, at that time, they probably, if they thought about a Savior, they were probably thinking of those Roman soldiers they saw walking around. It's like, oh, Lord, save us from those guys. But actually, you know what they needed saving from? Their own selves, their own sin. And that's still the case today. You know, if there's ever a search that's going on for a criminal, we usually think of it as like we want to catch them so they can't do more bad stuff and so that they'll be brought to justice. But, you know, that's not the kind of message that the angel gave. No, what was going on there? The good news of the angel was that there is a seeking people out Savior who'd been born, who actually would sacrifice himself for them. And he was going to seek people from high and low positions, from the palace to the pasture, the peons to the politicians. And the reason he came is because people need saving. If you go back to Romans 3, it really describes the fact that we as a people are in a world of hurt. Romans 3:10 tells us there's no one righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one who seeks God. All have turned away. All become together worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. That doesn't sound good. Romans 3 goes on to say, all sin falls short of the glory of God. Romans 5, death came to all people because all have sinned. But of course, the good news of Christmas is there is a way of escape. And when you read in Romans 3, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who will believe. And Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all people. And God is the Savior of all, especially of those who believe in 1 Timothy. 1 Peter, Christ died to sins once for all. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin in 1 John. In Acts 17, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Good news of great joy means I got a problem, but someone came to deal with it. Thank you, Lord. But you know, the thing is, when it came to the shepherds, they were given this news, but it just wasn't for them. It was good news of great joy for all people. And the intent was the angel was saying, you might want to check this out. And that's exactly what they did. They were the first to get the message, but they were then to pass it on. That is emphasized all through the New Testament, and in fact, the Old Testament as well. You know, these days when you talk about inclusivity, it only means inclusive if you adopt what I think you should have thought, think. But if you're not thinking along my lines, then you're excluded, even though they say they're inclusive. You know, it's just kind of this weird thing. But you know, God's message, though, is for all people at all times, in all places, at all stages, all ages. And over and over and over, the scripture says that. In 1 Timothy, it says, I urge then, first of all, requests, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Of course, what did God do in John 3:16? He so loved the world, he sent his one and only Son into the world. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But the next verse I love too, because it says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. We were condemned already, and he didn't show up to say, you are really bad, you're worse than you think. Well, actually, maybe he sort of did. He said, you need to get right with me. But he didn't come to pass judgment. He came to offer life to each person. 1 John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. He came to say, do you want life? Everywhere we read, people are in a world of hurt, but God came to do something about that. We know God wants everyone to come to repentance. You know, this good news of Christmas is for the bad guys too. Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Popot, Idi Amin. The Lord wanted them to come to repentance. They turned their back, and there's lots we could say about predestination and other things, but the message is for everyone. Or think of your least favorite political person. Oh, no, don't think about them. Don't mention them anyway. God sent his Son to be their Savior as well. And this was a radical message for first century Jews, because Jews were like, we're God's people. You clearly are not. Stay away. But, you know, that was not the intention of how it was supposed to be. In fact, when the first temple was built and Solomon dedicated it, it was really clear that, oh, Lord, may the nations come and hear about you. But also the Jews were to go and tell about God. I like what Dan the shepherd said. He said, God asked me to be the keeper of the most important message that's ever been kept. But note, the shepherds weren't meant to just keep it to themselves. It was an invitation to them. Here, guys, pass it along, spread it. Let's read on in Luke 2 what he chose to do. When they had seen him meaning Jesus, they spread the word. The shepherds spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed. The shepherds saw Jesus. Wow, it was just what the angel said. And they went around and they shared with everybody, and they were amazed. And Mary pondered up these things in her heart. And the shepherds returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. Wow, can you believe it? And there was the baby, and he was actually born, and oh, this is really incredible, and he met all those criteria, and boy, that angel was telling the truth. You know, they went to see the Savior who was actually seeking them. Isn't that incredible? And then they shared what they'd seen. You know, that reminds me of a great story in 2 Kings. That's probably a book you don't go to very often. But in 2 Kings 7, the city of Jerusalem was surrounded by enemies. And the situation was not looking good. And Elisha the prophet was there, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Aram, had mobilized his whole army and laid siege in Samaria, I guess it was. And as it turns out, there were four men with leprosy, and they said, you know, if we stay in the city, we're going to die because we're going to starve to death because there's no food. If we go out into the village, maybe the Arameans will kill us. Maybe they won't. Why don't we take a chance? So they go out there, and it just so happens. They went out and they reached the edge of the camp. There was no one there. And their initial thought was, wow, the king of Israel hired the Hittite kings of Egypt to attack us, and they drove them all out. But as they looked around, these guys with leprosy, they came and they entered one of the tents, and they found all this food. And so they ate and they drank and they carried away all the silver. And then they realize, it's like, wow, all the people in the city are starving. We are out here. There's no army to be seen. We're eating, we're drinking. There's all these wealth. And I love what they said. This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it for ourselves. And they said, if we wait till tomorrow, we'll be punished. So they go back into the city, and they say, hey, listen, there's nobody outside, and the king's not sure. So he sends out some messengers, and they check it out. And sure enough, it happened to be true that God had caused the king to flee. But I love the fact they said, man, we can't keep this good news to ourselves. This is better than a cure for COVID or cancer or cantankerness. And as the shepherds were shared, the message was intended to keep on going. And that was, in fact, what Jesus said. One of the last things he said before he ascended to heaven was he got his disciples together and said, all authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He gave all authority to his disciples to go to all nations to teach them all things. And he's with us always. That's pretty cool. In that passage, the word all nations is actually panta ta ethne in the Greek. And we get the word ethnic. Ethnicity from the word ethne. And that's part of the glory of Christmas. God's heart from the beginning. If you take out your handout, I know it's like four pages, and it's just like all nations, all peoples, everywhere. It just goes on and on and on. And I think I know I burned a lot of ink and put a lot of heat through the copy machine this week, but I think it's important just go, wow, from the very beginning, God is concerned for the world. And he wants all nations, peoples, everywhere to know that God so loved them and that they were created to know and experience him. And that's the glory of Christmas. But, you know, not only are all nations to know it, but it started out, the shepherds got the word and they began to share it. Eventually the disciples came into the picture and they began to share it, and so on and so on and so on and so on. It goes on and on. The good news isn't intended just to stop with us. And that's important. Whether the message has been entrusted to first century shepherds or 21st century actors or every other person, we don't want anyone to be left out. You know, and the good news, what is it? It's that God became man. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. And he rose again for forgiveness of sins. We who should have been judged were saved by the one who was the judge and became judge for us. And that's amazing. I wanted to just share a little bit about how is God working through our little body of believers to get that word out. Well, we partner through prayer and finances with Isaac and Rachel Silva in the Middle East, David and Sharon Esau in Spain, Tim and Jenny Kangas in Cambodia. You know, other places here in our neck of the woods, through Mercy's Gate, through Redemption Ridge, who work with girls rescued out of sex trafficking, the Medford Pregnancy Center, U715, who impact youth in the Upper Rogue, the Medford Gospel Mission, who work with homeless and those who are wanting to turn their lives around, CEF in Jackson County. And yet last Thursday, we had, I think, seven or eight kids here. So that was cool. And then we'll be back at Assembly of God next week. We work with Wilderness Trails, and basically that allows kids in foster care to go to camp for a week and hear about Jesus. And we continue to pray for Ralph and Betty Camp and Arvely Palmer and Juliana Kelso, who are retired missionaries. Well, what's the best Christmas gift you've ever received? Now, kind of let your mind go back in time. Was it a train set? A new bike? A sled? A video game console? Maybe not for all of you. Red Ryder BB gun? Roller skates? How about a drink and go potty Barbie? Yeah, I don't know. I received most of those things, minus the Barbie, but I was really excited about them as a kid. I'd get them, I'd play with them, it'd be so great. We'd get to school after Christmas vacation, and all the kids wanted to know, first thing, hey, what'd you get for Christmas? Oh, and you talk about it, but then eventually things break, or they're not so exciting, or Barbie wets on the couch, and your mom's ticked, or whatever the case might be. And anyway, they no longer become that exciting. But there's one gift that I hang on to. And it's one Dan talked about in the video. He said, God sent the greatest gift ever, the Prince of Peace. And I am so thankful for that. The peace we can have with God because of what he did. And that's what the Glory of Christmas is about. It's for all people. You know, that includes the left out, the losers, the local loitering community, LSD experimenters, the loose moral, the less able, the less desirable, the least, the lost, and I'll add the likes of us as well. It's for those who are doing well in their own eyes and the eyes of the world, those who are not. It's for those who recognize the fact they need a saving, and everybody does need saving. The problem is, the human race, we substitute ourselves in the place of God. Either we say, I'm going to break all the rules, I'm going to do, be, think whatever I want, or we say, you know, I keep all the rules, I'm good enough, God will be pleased with me. Two totally different approaches, but they end up at the same place. I'm making the call. I'm okay. Oh, don't trust in your own goodness. You don't have any before God. Trust in His. So let me encourage you, what do you do with God's gift of good news, a great joy for all people? Grab hold of it and leave your sin behind. You can't hold on to sin and have God too. You ever tried to get a couch through a doorway? Sometimes it's possible. You can contort it, you can twist it, tip it up on end at a funny angle. Sometimes you got to take the hinges off the door. Other times it seems like you need to use a chainsaw on the door and as well as your couch. But that doesn't end well for anybody, especially you when your wife sees what's happened. Most of you own an RV, or half of you anyway. Imagine trying to get a full-size couch into your RV. 36 inches wide, 7 feet long, 3 feet tall, and the doorway is about this wide. You can only get through those babies sideways anyway, let alone, I mean, it's just not gonna fit. And that's what we sometimes do when we come to God. It's like, I wanna hang out, I want God, and I want my sin. You know, we can just keep trying, but it's not going to fit. What you got to do is just say, oh, do I want God? Do I want to get in, or do I want my, okay, I guess I better leave this here. Okay, God. Keep that in mind as you walk in and out of your trailer. Just like, oh, can I walk through? Or, you know, carrying a railroad tie this way. It's just not going to happen. But get rid of your sin. Because Jesus says, I come to save those who want to follow me, who desire to leave their sin behind and come and seek me. I encourage you, the greatest gift ever, one you'll never regret receiving, though it will cost all you have, it cost him all he had, is available. Will you RSVP? You know, that's the good news that God offers, and all y'all can have it. So how will you respond to the glory of Christmas? Because it is for you. But also then, what will you do with it? Who might you share it with? Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your salvation. Thanks for seeking us all out and for saving us. Thank you, you care for us and love us. And the baby born that first Christmas was our Savior, the Lord Jesus. May all we who know hear and respond
to your gift of good news of great joy. In your name I pray, amen.